Thank you so much for the opportunity for asking me to share the word of God. And before sharing the sermon, we have the guests visiting us first time, Brother Alex and the family and the beautiful children. And we welcome you at the Faith Bible Chapel. Today, my topic of sermon is resting in the promise of word of God. And today we will learn from the Romans 8:28 that how we can rest in the promise that the God has said to us. And before starting my sermon, I will ask you questions. Think for a moment about the challenge you have faced or the trials that have tested your faith. You could think about the moment when you felt overwhelmed by the life circumstances. And during these struggles, how did you respond? Have you ever wondered if there is any purpose or meaning behind them? Are they just any random events, or is something greater at work? With just these questions, I will read one verse from the Word of God. This is our center verse for today, Romans 8:28. I will read for you. Hear the Apostle Paul say, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And thinking about the questions that I just brought in front of you, what do you think about your life that when you felt any overwhelming circumstances, how did you react? In this, because I remember that whenever in our life, when we face like a challenging circumstances, trials, we start doubting sometime, we start questioning ourselves. And in this moment of questioning and doubt, Romans 8:28 that we just read, it shines like a beacon of hope. The Romans 28 that we just read, it reminds us that God is not distant or not indifferent in our suffering. Instead, He is ultimately involved in every aspect of our life, working everything together for our good. And together, today, we'll explore the three key aspects of the Romans 8:28 that you can see. So today, we'll learn three things from this verse. And I believe that this verse will provide encouragement and hope to each one of us today. So the first aspect in this verse, we will discover that God is in control, even when life seems chaotic. And the second thing in this verse, we will dwell into the promise that all things work together for our good, even during our trials. And the third thing we will understand in this verse, the significance of loving God and how it positions us to experience the fulfillment of His promise. Let's talk about the first aspect of this verse, God is in control. Because when we read the Romans 8:28, it assures us of God's unwavering sovereignty over our lives. And when we read these powerful words written by the Apostle Paul, we are reminded that we know that all things work together for the good. But for whom? Who love Him. That's the condition. Who have been called according to His purpose. My friends, life is filled with challenges and uncertainties. We encounter unexpected setbacks, disappointments, and trials that can often shake our faith and leave us questioning on God's plan. But in such moments, it is crucial to remember that we are not alone in the struggle. We serve a God who is aware of every circumstances, and He remains in control even when circumstances seem very overwhelming. It is comforting to know that regardless of what we face. It could be financial difficulties, it could be health issues, broken relationships, or any trials. My friends, the Romans 8:28 remind us that God is in control. He sees the bigger picture, and his purpose extends beyond our immediate circumstances. We need to remember that when we surrender our lives to him, we can trust that he's actively working all things together for our good, even when we cannot see it now. And if we see the whole Bible throughout the scripture, we find numerous examples of God's faithfulness in turning difficult situation for good. Consider the story of Joseph. Who was the Joseph? If we start from his beginning life, he experienced the betrayal from his family. He was sold into slavery. And what? He endured a year of imprisonment. These all three things, as a human, we can say that it was a biggest trial for him. But what happened? We can read in the Genesis 41. You can see on the screen as well. I will read for you. It's written, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Who is this guy, Joseph? Was betrayed by his brother, was in slavery, was in imprisonment. And here, the Pharaoh said to him, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. And then, another verse 44, Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. My friends, we have read all the trials that the Joseph have been through, but what happened? In the end, God used Joseph's trial to position him as a key leader of Egypt, who saved his family, but who saved the entire nation of Egypt from the famine. And if we see another example, the life of Job, who suffered great loss, adversity, but what happened? He ultimately witnessed the restoration of all he lost. If we see the Joseph life, when he was suffering, when he was going through all the trials, how his wife suggested, we can read in the Job chapter 2 verse 9, his wife said to him, do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die. And I think as a human, when you have been through all the suffering, you have lost everything, maybe this was a normal thing that she was saying. But Job knew that whom God he believed. He knew that who is the God. And we can see his faith through his response. And we can see that how Job responded to his wife. He said, shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? What a beautiful representation of the faithful man. And then what happened when he showed the faith, when he was stand in all his trial? It's written in the verse 12, chapter 42, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. This is how God bless us, fill us with his spirit, with his more faith, when we start trusting him. And these both stories, the Joseph life and the Job life, are powerful reminder that our circumstances do not limit God. But what happened? It can work miracles even in our most challenging life circumstances. Knowing that the God is in control, let us explore the second part of the Romans 8:28. It says the promise that all things work together for good. And the main thing in this verse, the reflecting on the phrase all things in Romans 8:28, when Paul mentioned all things, it reveals the breadth and the depth of the God promise. It contains every aspect of our life. When it says all things, it means both the pleasant and the painful, the joyous and the sorrowful. It means nothing is outside the scope of the God's ability to work for our ultimate good. Because when it says all things, it means even during the most challenging circumstances, we can hold unto the assurance that God is at work, planning event according to His divine will. Because when we feel, when we read this word that all things, it means we have an assurance that God is with us. We have an assurance that God is on our side. And my friend, it is very important to understand that the God definition of good may differ from our understanding. Because sometimes when we read good, maybe we associate good with the comfort, with the success, or maybe immediate gratification. But God's perspective extends beyond our temporal desires. When God's mention good, it means it contains our spiritual growth, our character development, and our eternal purposes. Sometimes we perceive difficulties or challenges as opportunities for God to mold us, to refine our faith, and to shape us into the vessel for His glory. And whenever we face trials, we face troubles, we need to remember that God is on our side. It's God's plan. He will bring good at the end. Now we have gained a deeper understanding of a God's ability to work things for our good. Let us explore the third and the final aspect of Romans 8:28, the significance of loving God. The first aspect we talked, God is in control. And the second thing we talked was all things work together of our good. And now the third thing, it's a condition. Okay, the God has promised that things are in control. He will help us. He will protect us. He will provide us. But the third part of this verse, it came with the condition, the significance of loving God, those who love God. When we read this Romans 8:28, it finds a condition attached to the promise, a condition of loving God. What does it mean to truly love God? My friend, when we say that we love God, it goes beyond more sentiment or affection. When we say that we love God, and when we say that how we can truly love God, it's mean it involves a deep, intimate relationship with God. And it should be characterized by the obedience, trust, and surrender. Because when we genuinely love God, our perspective on life changes. And when we truly love God, and when we know that we love God, and what happens when we begin to see our circumstances through God's love and purpose? We cannot surrender Himself until we love Him. If we truly love God, it means surrendering our will with His will. Sometimes we as a believer, we claim that we love Him. We claim that we believe Him, but we don't want to surrender our will with His will. We sometimes claim that, Lord, Your will to be fulfilled, but we still want to do things that our own way. We don't want God's will to be fulfilled. And here, today, the word of God, the Romans 8:28, remind us that we need to surrender our will with His will. Because when we claim that we love God, it's mean aligning our desires, our plans, our ambitions with His divine purposes. It requires letting go of our understanding and trusting in His wisdom, in His guidance. My friends, we need to remember that when we surrender ourselves to God, we position ourselves to experience the fullness of His promise. And the whole Bible is filled with all the promises, with all the things that God has said to us, to His people. And the word is same for us today. But if today we wanna experience His fulfillment of His promise, we need to surrender ourselves. We need, because the Word of God assures us that all things will work together for our good. It will happen, but what we need to say, we need to surrender ourselves to Him. And as we talk about the promise of God, as a church, sometimes we struggle to understand that what it means to be rest in the Lord. Because we claim to His follower, we read the Word of God, we pray every day, because sometimes we really struggle that what it means to be rest in the Lord. Because if we read Psalm 37, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord is a frequently term that used in the whole Bible. And when the psalmist says here that rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him, he's not talking about a physical activity or rest that involve a break from an activity or relaxing. When the psalmist talk about rest in the Lord here, it refers to the spiritual rest from our confusion, from worries, from our stresses. And if we see the Hebrew word for this particular word, rest, it means to be peace, to be still, to be quiet or calm. This is how the God wants to give us rest. He wants to give us peace from our worries, from our stress. But what we have to do, we have to be rest in the Lord. We have to understand that what it means to be rest in the Lord. Wherever the God promises were said in the Bible, there was always condition attached with it. And if we see in the Old Testament, and if we talk about the people of Israel, we can see that the God promised the people of Israel a life of peace in the promised land and rest in His presence. Because if we read Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, it says, and He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What a beautiful promise that Jehovah God is giving to the people of Israel, that my presence will go with you and I will give you the rest. But what happened? This restful, peaceful living was dependent on something. It was dependent on remaining faithful and obedient to God alone by keeping their covenant with Him. God promised with the people of Israel that I will give you my peace, I will give you my rest, but there was a condition with it, and the condition was that the Israelites have to be faithful with His covenant. But what happened? Eventually, because of their disobedience, their unfaithfulness, the nation of Israel was taken into the captivity of Babylon. But again, God showed His promise. After returning from exile, once again, the promise of the rest in the Lord's presence was presented. Because if we read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 10, it says, do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, for I will bring you home again from distant land, and your children will return from their exile. Israel will return to a life of peace and quiet, and no one will terrorize them. We can say that the God showed the promise to the Israelites, but they were not faithful. They were not trusting God. So God gave them they've been through the judgment and punishment. But again, God showed His promise. But what happened? Again, people failed to learn that resting in the Lord means surrendering wholly to the Lord in righteous living. And if we see in the New Testament, the book of Hebrew, it declares the good news that those who believe in Jesus Christ can enter His rest. Today, if we are struggling with something, today, if we have like a anxiety, worry, stress for something, today we need to learn that we need to trust in the Lord. We need to follow His commandment. Because sometimes we as a human start questioning God that why it's happening with me, why that I'm a Christian, I'm going to church, I'm reading Bible every day, but why everything is happening with me? So we need to think about our life that either we are behaving like Israelites who believe that they are people of God, but their actions, they were not truly faithful into God. Because in the Hebrew, it was clearly written that who believe in Jesus Christ can rest, enter in his rest. As a believer, we are not granted immunity from the life's storms. Christianity is not about that. We will not struggle. We will not face trials, but we have a choice how we can react in this trial. This is where, as a believer, as a Christian, respond. Because as a non-believer, when he will face trials, maybe he get worried, he will cursing. But we, as a Christian, when we face trials, when we face troubles, it's our duty, the word of God guide us that how we need to react. We can either waste our time by worrying, or we can trust in the Lord to take care of us. Because Jesus said, if we read Matthew chapter 11, 28, Jesus said from his mouth, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you the rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus clearly inviting us that what the troubles we are having, what problems, the financial problem, health problem, mental issue, whatever we are facing, we need to bring to him. Because he's ready to take and give us rest, give us peace. But we need to remember again that there is a condition. God will help us. God will go through everything. He will bring all things together for our ultimate good. But there is a condition that we have to love him truly. We have to surrender our life to him. We can only receive his rest. We can only receive his peace if we will be faithful with him, if we will follow his word. Maybe you are thinking that how we can deepen our relationship with God. I want to bring few things in front of you that how we can deepen our relationship, how we can deepen our love for God. The first thing that we need to do, we need to cultivate a prayer life. Because when we start a prayer life, we bring his presence and wisdom in every situation. Because when we start praying, the word of God keep telling us that the prayer changes things. If we read from there's a lot of verses that encourage us that when we sit in the prayer, when we ask God, he do things for us. We need to spend time in the prayer. Sometimes we are so busy in our work, in our life, with our children, we don't have time for prayer. And today, word of God remind us that if we claim that we are a believer, if we really want to love God, if we really want to surrender ourselves with God, we need to build a prayerful life. We need to have some time in our daily life to just to spend time with God. And the second thing that we can do, engage in a heartfelt worship. Because when we worship God, when we spend time with him, we express his love and adoration for him. And the third thing, the most importantly, that we need to do, strive to obey his word. Because if we read from the Jesus saying in John 14 verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." So this is how, if we claim that we love Jesus, if we claim that we are the follower of Jesus, we need to follow his command. And the command is that we need to trust on him. We need to be faithful in every aspect of our life. We are not a people that only come on Sunday just having a traditional Christian life, but to Today, the word of God remind us that we need to surrender with His will. We have to keep our life the way that where we can spend our time with God on daily basis for prayer, for worship, for obeying His word. And my friends, with a deeper understanding as we talk about this Romans 8:28, what it means to love God, we explore today the three aspects of Romans 8:28. The first thing that we discussed today was God's control on all our situations. And the second thing we discussed today, His ability to work for all things for our ultimate good. And the third thing that we discussed today was the significance of loving Him. And I believe that these all three things holds power to transform our life and bring us rest in His unfailing grip. My friends, as we end our time together, let us repeat the assurance and hope that Romans 8:28 bring to our lives. This is very powerful promise that remind us that God is in control. This is very powerful promise that tell us that He can work together for all things together for our good. And then there's a condition that those who love Him are the recipient of His divine plan. You know, if we see our world, the whole world around, it's filled with the uncertainties, trials. People are struggling. There's a wars happening around us. But today, the word of God, the Romans 8:28 that we just read, it offers a firm foundation on which we can stand. A firm foundation on which we can trust, and that give us hope and peace. Therefore, my brother and sister, be encouraged to trust God's promise. Let go of your worries, anxieties, and doubt, and find rest in His unfailing grip. Remember that He is always at work, even amid our most challenging situation. Whenever you face any challenge, any circumstances, embrace His sovereignty, knowing that He holds our life with His loving hand. As we go forth from this place, may we hold unto the promise of Romans 8:28 throughout our week. Let it be guiding light in our decision, a source of comfort in our trials, and a reminder of God's faithfulness. Let us live each day like a victorious Christian with the assurance that our Heavenly Father is working all things together for our ultimate good. Because whenever we face challenge, whenever we face trouble, we just need to say this word. We just need to remind ourselves that all things work together for our ultimate good. Because the God who we worship, the God whom we believe, He is with us and He will not leave us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for loving us despite so many stumbles and failings, Lord. Please forgive us our missteps and guide us as we seek to serve You wholeheartedly. Lord, please help us to be a faithful followers of Christ. Lord, help us to never to be ashamed to live our life according to Your commands. We long to be more like You, Lord. Please mold us into Your likeness every day. Lord, we want to be like You. Please help us strengthen our faith so we can trust in You in every situation, Lord. And from now on, Lord, whenever we face trials, trouble, we can proudly say with the confidence, with the assurance that You are with us and You will never leave us, Lord. Thank You for Your love and faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.